Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Hey guys, it is Ryan. I'm not sure if you know this about me, but I'm a bit of a fun fanatic when I can. I like to work, but I like fun too. It's a thing. And now the truth is out there. I can tell you about my favorite place to have fun. Chumba Casino. They have hundreds of social casino style games to choose from with new games released each week. You can play for free anytime, anywhere. And each day brings a new chance to collect daily bonuses. So join me in the fun. Sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
Hello, it is Ryan, and I was on a flight the other day playing one of my favorite social spin slot games on ChumbaCasino.com. I looked over at the person sitting next to me, and you know what they were doing? They were also playing Chumba Casino. Coincidence? I think not. Everybody's loving having fun with it. Chumba Casino is home to hundreds of casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere, even at 30,000 feet. So sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com to claim your free welcome bonus. That's ChumbaCasino.com and live the Chumba life.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
From the Fifth Quarter Studios in Madison, Wisconsin, you're listening to Coach Unplugged. And now, your host, Steve Collins.
Hey, everybody. Welcome to Coach Unplugged. So excited you decided to join us. Before we jump in, a couple things. First of all, we'd love if you'd leave a five-star review. Those reviews are really big to us. Also, go over and check out our sponsors, Dr. Dish, the number one shooting machine on the market. So easy to set up, easy to use, will make your team, you know, will make your team better shooters. I can guarantee that. And not necessarily scorers, but the great thing is they've dealt with that problem. And now you have trainers there. You have things on the Dr. Dish. It will actually help you become a better scorer. So go over and check it out. Mention Coach Unplugged. They'll give you $350 off. Also, go over and check out teachhoops.com for coaches who want to get better. Right now, we got a quarterly membership. We're trying something new here. We think it's a great innovation for all of you. Maybe jump in for 3 months and kick the tires around. We believe in teachhoops.com so much that we have a 14-day free trial right now. No one else has that. No one else are you going to get their bat phone and be able to get on a call and help them through. So our roadmap is second to none, too. It will walk you through your basketball journey. So come over and check us out at teachhoops.com. Let's head off to the podcast.
So Craig's stuff, and then right. I'll work with my guys on our quick hitters, our out of bounds, our stuff with nobody. And then, yeah, I love that. I do too.
And then we're fortunate enough that we had a junior on the scout team who he'll be a senior next year. He's going to be one of our captains. Honestly, he's not going to play a meaningful minute. And we've had this he and I have had this conversation already, but he's invaluable.
Right.
Because he's an upperclassman on the scout team, and he's making sure these young guys are doing it right, are paying attention. They aren't just goofing around. And I called him in. In fact, the day of this practice, I called him in and just talked to him about that, how valuable you are. I don't tell you that enough.
Right.
And we're not.
Some of those guys, some of those freshmen are thinking, I'm just waiting for my time.
Exactly.
Like, I'm just waiting. Yeah. Like, my time will come. Yeah.
And those guys that just love being, a Spartan or a Zephyr or whoever. They're invaluable.
And I'm telling you, how many coaches are going to use COVID-19 as a prime example? Don't assume something's going to happen.
Yeah.
This might be your last season. Like, how many spring sport athletes, their season's over. Like, it never happened, you know? So I know they.
And you love it. And then again, we went to a shooting drill. We did a partner shooting drill.
Okay.
Then we went to our half court offense. We added a new quick hitter. For the game, it was one of their plays, so we called it Bobcat, which is their nickname. That. So we're like, we're going to run it right back at them because they kicked our butt with it the last time we played them.
We've done that. I've run Craig's out of bounds play right back at him. It's like, we'll get good at it, and then we'll know what you're going to do. Yeah.
Yeah. And then I've done this for 20 plus years. We script our first three plays.
See, I've tried that. Does it work? Do you think it works?
And
does it change?
Yes and
does the script First of all, does it help the kids feel more secure? Do you change the script game to game?
Yes, we change it game to game.
Okay.
And I'll tell them it, like, to be Steve, there, we'll do it for different reasons. Sometimes we're just doing it. We're going to run a play because they run 4 different ball screen defenses. I want to see how they're going to guard us.
Ah, that's so you're prodding the front line basically. Yeah.
Sometimes we'll do it because we think we've got a good matchup on whatever it is. So we're going to run an action to get Nick in space against the guy that's guarding him because he can't guard him. So let's run that early.
Right.
Sometimes, I don't know. Sometimes we're just doing it. Let's make sure our post guy gets a touch because we don't throw it to him enough. So let's make sure Josh gets a touch. But there's different reasons that we'll run it. I've never actually
tracked it.
I should track it.
And it'd be a good thing to do right now when you have all this free time.
Yeah, it would.
How often do you have shot clock problems?
We hardly have any.
Okay.
If I would be willing to bet, I can think of one shot clock violation all season that we had. Synergy is.
Because your guys can, if they have the ball, they can create something.
Right.
So this is my whole issue. And I've told Jerry, I said, I don't really care if there's a shot clock, but I'm going to take the other side. And here's the reason. First of all, I think high school athletics, only a small percentage of these kids are actually going to play college. Mm-hmm. So us prepping them for that is a silly reason, in my opinion. High school athletics is unique in the sense that the game can be different. You might see a first fast paced game. You might see a slow pace. And I said, the shot clock's not going to affect my teams. I mean, literally, I'm going to be able to count one hand the number of times the shot clock's going to be an issue of my team. But when you get to some of these small schools, the kids that maybe can't create, and the third player has the ball with 7 seconds, you're going to have some horrible basketball, in my opinion.
Yeah, I agree with you. And then one of the arguments was about adding depth, developing more players. Well, if I'm at Benton and I got 74 kids, I'm playing all the ones I got.
Right. Well, the first thing, they did the right thing for playing more kids. To go to halves makes me play more kids.
Love it. Yeah. Love
I have it. No problem.
I was
problem.
Thinking of halves. Yeah.
I have no of problem of halves. I wasn't like, I'm not sure about this when it started. It's making me play more kids, which is exciting for high school athletics. Perfect. I wish they gave me another timeout, to burn somewhere so I could teach. But whatever. I'll keep fighting for that. But that had a reason for a rule. It's definitely not going to happen now, but there's not going to be any money left to put shot clocks in. So it's dead for a while, at least.
Yeah, I agree. Your thought about the, I was trying to look up
the kids
stats
creating
just about the halves.
Right.
Iowa still plays quarters. Illinois still plays quarters. Wisconsin. So we're recruiting all three of those states. I'd much rather go watch a game in Wisconsin.
The flow is better.
Yes, absolutely.
And the funny thing is, I coach it like it's a college game. They're my best players coming out at some point.
Yep.
In the first half, I gotta rest my. I got it. Mm-hmm. And like Cade last year was my point guard. I had to give him – I literally had to have assistants say, you got to give him a minute or two in the first half, a minute or two in the second half. You have to do it.
Yep,
like,
agreed.
In the old days, Wesley wouldn't come off the floor. Like, Jaron was playing the whole game if he could because he had breaks. You know, there was no problem with him.
We won the state title with 6 guys.
Right. Yeah. You know, but that's harder on a bigger court now.
Yes. With halves, it would be harder.
It would be.
When I was looking up here, you asked me how the shot clock affected us. So we played 2,583 half-court possessions. 90 of them, we took a shot with less than 4 seconds on the shot clock.
Right.
And I'll bet you, if you took it those 90, I'll bet you 30 of those were when we were
– right.
Or we were running – it's end of game, and we're just running our fist play at 8.
Yeah.
You know, with the lead. Shot clock wasn't really.
I don't think it become that big of a factor in high school either. I think it's just
I'm with you about the game being unique. You know, let high school have its own game.
Right. I mean, you saw some of my teams in like 5'9". Mm-hmm. I'll go up and down the court. But my last state tournament team in 2017, we literally wanted to beat you 42-48. You know, 48-42.
Yeah.
Like, we were going to grind you. We were going to take a – because that's what we could do. I had a great center. I had good guards that were serviceable. But we had size. We were going to grind you. That's what makes it great.
Yeah,
you know,
absolutely.
I don't know. I think they're all going to become vanilla. All the styles are going to become very similar. You know,
I love the NBA. I haven't watched a game this year because all the teams are the same.
They are. Until playoffs, yeah.
Yep.
The best part of about the NBA is watching The Last Dance. But yeah. All right, let's jump in. Let's jump into some questions I have.
Sure.
So if you could pick three things to do at practice, what would you do?
Pick to do three things to do at practice?
Yep, you can only do three things at practice.
Oh, boy. Okay, so it's like I'm stuck on an island.
What, you're three stuck on an island. Yeah. And what, like, so for a young coach out there, they're thinking, okay, what do you think are the three most important things to do at practice?
Sort not really involved in this question, but if you're a young coach and you're coaching alone, coach from the middle of the floor.
Oh, I like that.
You know, okay. don't coach from the middle so that if you get things going on everywhere, you can see them all. Anyway, because I was that, and I learned that I had to go coach from the middle of the floor.
I love that.
What three things would I do? You got to shoot. You got to shoot.
And it's one of the things I'm terrible at and I've gotten better at.
Yep.
It's like I forget about it. And it's like, and the reason I got better at it is because I got a shooter in the house. And he would say, Dad, man, we're not getting enough shots up, man. Like,
I used
shoot
to
or
do,
shoot.
Yeah. I used to do I give them exit surveys. I haven't done it in a while, but it'd be like, what do we do well? What do we need to do? Shoot. We got to shoot more, coach. And inevitably every year I'm like going to shoot more. And I never did.
I know.
But yeah, shoot. You got to shoot. I think, I think you got to be able to guard the ball, you know, and
you can't play at the collegiate level if you can't guard the ball.
Right.
Like, that's the difference between a kid playing D2 kid and maybe the D1 kid or the mid-major between the major is how they can defend the ball. Like,
yeah,
can you,
absolutely.
Because they can all, like, there's D2 kids that can score with D1 kids, but they can't defend the person in front of them, you know?
Yeah. Yep. And because it's hard now because you're talking about three things and you got to get into team concepts, but, and I guess the other one, man, is I would really, of course, if I'm a high school coach, I don't know if I get as worked up about closeouts because there's going to be guys I don't care if we close them out, you know? So guarding the ball and shooting, boy, I think passing and catching.
I put footwork in because I think footwork's horrible.
And then I would, well, right, I'd cheat because we do passing and catching and incorporate footwork into it.
Yeah, I do that. What would you tell your younger self?
Oh, boy. You are nowhere near as smart as you thought you were.
That's true. Oh, my God. I think I've become a worse coach every year. I think I know less and less every year.
Oh, man, I can remember being 25 and thinking I invented the game, you know?
Right, right.
And at some point you realize, I don't know anything. And then you get to work and figure some things out and what works for you and what doesn't. And
what's your favorite way to defend a ball screen?
My favorite way is the hard hedge.
Well, okay.
If it's a 5-1, 5-2, anything with a 5.
Okay.
1-4, we're going to switch it.
Oh, you are?
Yeah, we switch everything 1-4.
I love switching.
Yeah.
Because it makes them talk too.
Yeah. But if it's a 5, we're gonna hard hedge it. Going back to high school when we ran the dribble drive, the teams that gave us the most trouble were the teams that switched. The teams that were going to man up and fight through them, we kicked their butts.
Right, because you'd make that – you'd get the turn because you're good enough to get the turn. Yeah. What's your biggest challenge as a coach?
Oh, boy.
And is that 22-mile drive ever a challenge?
Only when it's snowing.
Okay.
Do you
listen to
podcasts? Like,
what do you do on that 22-minute drive? Do you listen to podcasts? You recruit? What do you do?
I usually listen to music.
Okay.
You know, I've got my playlist and I listen to my music. Although so I have
down, it's your downtime before you become come home. Yeah. Okay.
Yep. And honestly, a lot of recruiting ends up at home. If a great piece of advice I got from Lance Randall when I went from high school to college as the assistant, he said, there's gotta be one night a week where you're dad and husband and you're not coach.
Okay.
There's gotta be one night a week you put the phone away. There's gotta be one night a week that you're a dad and you're a husband. I think as an assistant coach, you can do that. As a head coach, can't. As much as I want to.
Right.
I'm coach 24/7.
Yeah. You're never off.
Yeah. And my kids know that, and they still know how to get into my life. I mean,
right.
Like ignore them or anything.
You just start bringing them along too. I mean, that's
they
part of
do.
The, that, yeah.
Yep. That is part of the fun. One of my kids still goes to, as at the eighth grader, he's gone every year on the road somewhere different with us. Now my freshman doesn't like to do that.
Right.
Next year when he's in high school, won't be able to do it because he'll be playing. But
yeah, it is fun. It is fun. Yes. I mean, I've had many great trips with Drew, just throwing him on the bus or on the plane. And yeah. What do you think the hardest skill to teach is?
I think the hardest skill to teach is probably footwork.
I think it is too. I think screening and footwork. I think those two, teaching the screen well and how to read it is really hard at the high school level. I think footwork is too, because we don't have the time that you do.
Right. We get more time to do that. And then especially when we're getting chances, we do the footwork stuff is getting taught a lot in those 3 and 4 man groups.
Right.
We're just doing box drills and anything, that's to work on footwork.
So is there one coaching moment over your 30 years that we could dive into that someone could learn something from? A success, a failure, something we could dive into. Dig deep into it.
Here it is. It's a good bad moment or a bad good moment.
Okay.
The year after we won the state title, the guy that was going to be the MVP of our league tears his ACL in the last football game. We still have 2 starters from that team. Our guy that was going to be the starting point guard, academics took him out. So we go into the first day of practice, we're down 2 starters. And the one kid that tore his ACL was the leader. So now they're the leadership.
He's done. Like ACL is done. Like you're done.
It's a huge void. We're bringing up sophomores that really shouldn't be playing varsity, but we're like, you're the next best guy.
Right.
And so it gets to be Christmas. We're 4-3. And we co-op football with Scales Mound, Illinois.
Okay.
And so it's the day before we play Scales Mound. We finally put 3 good practices in a row together, and I'm starting to feel like, all right, we're getting this. And we have an hour of the worst practice. It was brutal. And I just threw them out before we even did any scouting. I'm like, just go home. I'm done with you, whatever. And so the next day, when we get to Scales Mile, I don't teach, right? So I don't get a chance to talk to these guys. Well, plus it was over Christmas week.
Which
anyway.
Makes it harder. That's definitely harder for a high school coach to not.
I agree.
I told my wife today, I'm 53. I told her, I said, I'm not ready to retire because I'm really missing my guys.
Yeah.
I'm missing my class. I'm missing my guys.
Yep.
It's just not the same. Yeah.
Yep. I'm missing I text our guys, everybody. There's I text them all the time. We're staying in touch, but it's just not the same.
It's not the same.
So we get to the game, and I'm like, okay, everybody in the locker room once the JV game starts. And we were fighting and for the soul of our team because we had the wrong guys leading.
Yep.
And I sat them all down and I went through each kid and told them what I thought of them. Point blank, good, bad, or indifferent. And some of it was good. But our best player, I remember I said, Matt, you don't get to have a bad practice. You don't get to have a bad – I'm sorry. You don't get to have a bad practice. So you can't practice like you did last night. All last night's your fault. It really wasn't all his fault.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
Right. But I laid it on him, and because I knew we could take it.
Right.
And
that's a very valuable lesson for people, for the young coaches listening. You got to read your personnel. Mm-hmm. Like, I know the kids I can go after.
Yeah.
Like, that's where I'm missing my guys right now, because this is where I build that. Like, I know I can go after X, but I can't go after Y. And if I say three words to Z, I'll lose him for a week. Like, no, I'm just saying that's – and I'm not learning that. I'm not learning those little strings I got to pull right now that I'm going to need in November, February. That's the hard part, yes.
And going back to those small group workouts that we do –
You're learning them.
Oh, man. And it's so – because we're not trying to win Saturday. Yeah. It's much more relaxed. We can – they're still working hard. Don't get me wrong.
Right. But you're building a rapport. Yeah.
It's – there's more time to – you know, they get to poke fun at coach or whatever.
Right.
And vice versa. Yeah. Yeah. And so we go through each kid and I tell them. And the two kids that were being the wrong guys leading – I didn't lay into him. I said to one kid, I'm like, you know, A, do you think you practice hard every day? And he looked at me stunned and he said, sometimes. I said, do you think that's enough?
Right.
And then I moved on to the next guy and I'm like, B, I don't even know what to tell you. Because I don't know what to tell you. You don't have any idea how to do what we're trying to do.
Right.
And we left it at that. We went up and we played our young guys. We played four sophomores and our junior was our best player. And those two seniors played a little bit. And I couldn't have wrote a script any better. We got down 21-6. And I made an adjustment of who was guarding whom. And then we started pressing them. We ended up winning by 11. And these young guys did it all. And it's probably
and they were on the ship at that point.
Yeah,
like you had them. Yeah.
Yep. And it's probably as elated. That's an exaggeration. It was as elated, just regular season, nondescript win, as I've ever been around, except for those two guys in the corner who just realized we aren't that important.
Right.
And the funny part is, one of them bought in, the other didn't. And by the end of the year, we were playing in the regional final. And he was sitting in the one that bought in was sitting in the corner, nervous as a cat before the regional final. And I'm like, I win.
Right. You
know, I won this round.
Right.
And I remember coming home to my wife and just being so excited that we won the soul of our team tonight.
Right.
We battled for their soul.
It's especially with teenage boys, it's so psychological. It really is. It's like, oh, I just so miss that. If you could change one thing about basketball, what would you change?
Now, you're going to think this is silly. If you crotch a shot, it should be a turnover. It should not be a held ball. If I could be king for a day, that's the rule I'd change.
Oh, you're talking about the one that gets stuck between the rim and the backboard? Yep.
That should not be a jump ball.
That shouldn't be a jump ball. It's a turnover. Yeah,
exactly.
I agree
that should be a turnover. If I could
okay,
be king
so you
for
and
day,
I both have you and I both have our things. I'm trying to get rid of the jump ball.
Yep. Like, okay.
But because the officials are horrible.
Oh my god.
Because they make it once a game, maybe twice a game if there's an overtime. Why
we have two double overtime games?
Why are they doing that? Like give the visiting team the ball.
Sure.
Let's go.
I can live with that.
Alternating possession. It's an archaic part of the game. Yep. Why are we making these officials that are accountants during the day throw the ball up once? They throw it up six times in a year, maybe.
Yeah, because they're taking turns doing it.
Right. And the problem is they don't know. They might do your game and then come to our game. The kid is a little different as far as, you know, Benton and Memorial, as far as how that you know, you got 2 6-7 guys jumping.
Yeah. And then they go do the college game the next day with the 6'8", 6'9".
Right. They just, they're horrible at that toss. Yeah. Like, so, and then I tell my guys, I said, they go, why do you care? I go, well, because when I played, every ball was a jump ball.
Oh, yeah.
What are you talking about? I go, well, there's a loose ball. It was a jump ball. They go, what? I go, that's why they had the circles.
Yeah, that doesn't exist anymore.
No, they don't get that. Yeah. All right, I'm going to do rapid fire here because I want to get you off, Coach. So here's what rapid fire is. I give you a question, and it's usually one or two-word answer.
Okay.
What is your?
I'm not good at those one or two answers.
What is your favorite? What is your favorite brand of basketball? I mean, the type that you play with in a game, the circular brand of basketball.
Sure, it's be the Spalding TF1000 or whatever.
Okay, is that what your NAIA uses?
It is. Yep.
Okay.
It is. That's what we used at Benton too.
Okay, that's what I love. I love the feel of that. Yeah. One word to describe your ideal player.
Smooth.
Okay, one sporting event that you could go to. Anything in the world. You can go to any sporting event in the world.
How about an Olympic basketball final?
Ooh, that'd be good. I took my son to the Final Four in Minneapolis. That was pretty special.
Yeah, we went to 14 and 15. I took both – my wife and I took our two older boys when Wisconsin played.
Cool seeing Tony win it in Minneapolis. And
awesome. Yeah, that would be awesome.
It was one thing you look for in a recruit.
First thing we're going to notice how hard you play.
I tell the guys, I said, the only way you can stand out at these things is you have to stand out on effort in Rockford on a Tuesday. Yep. Like you better be, if you're diving for every ball and they're going to at least look at you. They might not recruit you, but they're going to like, who's that kid? Like,
exactly. And we're going to watch you a little more and find out if you can play. And if you talk,
I love that.
I've spent time. I've gone to spoke at camps, and I said, if you're 6'1" or shorter, I can swing a jump rope in any gym in Wisconsin and hit three guys just like you.
Yep.
You better stand out.
Yep. And that's what I told my son. So my son, I said, the only way he didn't play summer basketball for last two years of his high school career. I said, the only way you're going to play for me is you got to get good at something. Like, you need to be exceptional. And he's got legitimate NBA range if he's open. I said, now you can play because you're a coach's kid. You'll be in the right position.
Yeah.
Not worried about that kind of stuff.
I love recruiting coaches' kids.
Right.
And they're leaders, too.
And he understood his role. Sometimes he started. Sometimes he didn't start. You know, whatever. I mean, it's like he has no false sense. If he can go to Middlebury and be on the team, he'll be happy. He'll work. He'll be a good leader. I told the coach, I said, if he makes your team, by the time he's a senior, you'll love the kid. He may never be a player for you, but you'll love him because he's a coach's kid. Yeah. Like, he has no false sense of who he is. Favorite pregame meal?
Pancheros.
Ooh, that's a good one.
For me, not for the players.
One skill not being taught.
Honestly, almost shooting. It's almost overtaught. But I don't think it's shooting.
I think it's a type of game shots too. I'm a big Dr. Dish guy, but just getting on the dish isn't enough. It's how you shoot on those.
Well, that goes back to footwork too, Steve, because we always talk about all this form stuff. I'll go knock down 80% of my free throws, but it's where my feet are. That's not the shot you're shooting in the game. Your feet determine so much.
And that's what Drew and I were working on. I said, sometimes you got to be hopper. Sometimes you got to be a stepper. Sometimes you got to be like, you can't be one. I know you can make 80% of these if you hop every time, but sometimes they're going to crouch you. So now what are you going to do? Now you got to be a step. Like all this kind of, that conceptual thing is, it's hard. One thing you do to relax.
Honestly, just kind of lay down and nap. I mean, I always joke about having a game day nap.
You know who does that? Coach K.
Really?
He does. He does it. He's done it for all 800. He always goes home and takes a nap. And it's in one of his books. I don't remember which book it was I read. And the reason he does it, he goes, I take the nap before the game because when are you the sharpest during the day? Yeah. Right when you wake up. The morning tends to be the best part of your day and the sharpest part of your day. So he goes, I always take a nap before a game because then I feel like I'm my sharpest to go coach the game.
That makes sense. We've got a couch in our locker room that I'll sneak down in sometimes during the game day and sneak one in.
One superstition you have.
I tie my shoes when I'm nervous.
Really?
Yes.
Okay. Do you stand the whole game?
Crouch.
You crouch.
Mostly. Yeah.
Okay. Best basketball player of all time you've seen in person.
That I've seen in person.
In person.
Larry Bird.
Oh, you saw Larry.
Yes.
Were you a Celtics or a Laker?
I'm a Celtics fan.
Okay. I interviewed a coach from Ireland. Obviously, he was a Celtics fan. Yeah. But him and I had like a 5-minute conversation about like in the 80s, there was no middle. You were either absolutely. Lakers or Celtics.
Yeah.
There was no in between. Like you couldn't be a Laker fan and a Celtics fan. It was like people don't understand that rivalry. Best player of all time.
Well, it's Jordan, you know. I think LeBron's close, but it's Jordan.
You know why it's Jordan? And it was in one of the specials. He never lost a final.
Yeah.
Like, you know, LeBron's – other guys have lost finals. He's never – he was in every final he was in, he won. That's something.
I think Bill Russell is probably the most underappreciated because he never lost a game where it was win or go home or, you know,
right.
Win advance, lose, go home.
Yeah.
In his life, he never lost a game.
That's insane.
College, yeah, that's nuts.
One thing that helped you become a better coach?
Honestly, my wife.
Ooh, that's a good.
Yeah, because and she's got a background in social work.
You probably watch more film than like coaching films because of your business than any human being.
and because I ran the WBCA coaches clinic for 20 years, saw more clinicians than, you know.
You know what I tell young coaches too? I said those clinics are great, but I have learned more from clinicians that are high school coaches than from hearing Bob Huggins' stories. They're funny and they're great. But you're not going to learn what's going to help you in a day-to-day basis.
Yeah. I remember watching Dana Kirk. So that's – I was young talking about – I was coaching junior high, and he was talking about, I'm going to throw it to my 6'10 guy here, and he's going to throw it to his 6'10 guy there. I left. You know, I could stack my guys up and couldn't get two 6'10
If you want to go to Vegas and go to the clinic, great. But you're really not going for the clinic. You're going to have some fun in Vegas. You know, the clinic's good. You'll get a couple golden nuggets I refer to, but – you'll walk out of there with three things that you could have, you know. Yeah. Best game you've seen in person?
Best game I've seen in person. This is going to be crazy because nobody's going to know it. The best game I've ever been to in person was a high school game in Indiana in like 1989 between West Vigo, which is Terre Haute West, and Terre Haute South. And it was in the Indiana – it was like the second round of their tournament. You know, so it's our regional semifinal.
Right.
And there were 11,000 people in the Holman Center, which is where Indiana State plays. Wow. And it was one on a free throw with no time on the clock. It was crazy. It's been 20 plus years. I still remember that game.
I take my triple overtime
state game championship
in 2011.
Game? That was 2011. I watched that.
That was the Brendan Ortiz one.
Yep.
And, The kid called a timeout and didn't have it, and it was one of those weird games. Favorite quote?
Nothing great has ever been achieved without enthusiasm, Ralph Waldo Emerson.
Oh, I love that. Yeah. So that goes back to our practice thing. You better have enthusiasm.
Mm-hmm. I use that a lot.
Oh, I bet. One word to describe your coaching style?
Calm.
Okay. Best basketball coach of all time?
Popovich.
I like Pop too. Yeah. One book you would recommend?
Oh,
you had three on your list.
Yeah. The one, I don't even know, put this on the list. My favorite book of all time is a book called A Hope in the Unseen by Ron Suskind. And I don't know if that was on the list.
It wasn't.
It's about an inner city, I want to say Baltimore, high school student who had great grades, got into Brown, but wasn't prepared emotionally or even academically. And it's phenomenal. Otherwise a basketball book.
What's the name of that book? Oh, that sounds really interesting. Yeah,
A Hope in the Unseen. And the author is Ron Suskind. And if it was a basketball book, I'd say Stuff Good Players Should Know by Dick DaVinci.
Everybody should read that book.
Yeah.
It's a great book. Dick's an underappreciated genius of this game, in my opinion. Yes. One thing you would tell a young coach.
One thing I would tell a young coach is enjoy winning, because as a young coach for me personally, I got less joy from winning than the pain of losing.
I think that's a great bit of advice. I had friends telling me when we were in our stretch, he said, take snapshots of this, Steve, because you're going to remember this when you're older. You know, it's true. Sometimes you don't see it because it's happening at the time. But I think that's a great thing. All right, last question is, if you could give one bit of advice to somebody listening, what would that advice be?
Geez. You know, I always love the quote. I don't know where it comes from, but it's dance like nobody's watching, sing like nobody's listening, and live every day like, or love every day like it's your last. So that would be it. We have paraphrased that into basketball from time to time, where I tell them, shoot like you've never missed, defend like you've never been beaten, and play every possession like it's the one that could win the game.
I love that.
And so I think it goes, that can go to athletics, or, and I've just always liked that. And although
I think everything we're going through in this world right now, it's like, enjoy the moment. Yeah. Enjoy the moments with your family. It's hard. Trust me. It's,
yeah. Our forecourt, and I'm sorry, I know you're probably, we've been on almost 2 hours, but
no, that's all right.
I'm really enjoying
you haven't broken the record. The record's like 2:30, so you're good.
our four core values, and part of it is what you just talked about. Our four core values are joy, compassion, or passion and compassion, and awareness. Those are our core values, that stuff we talk about a lot, that there's got to be joy in this.
Right.
I used to say fun, but fun is fleeting. Joy is forever, you know?
Right. Joy is the seeing the birth of your child. Joy is, yes, yes.
And like in basketball, like not this year, but last year, we got beat by the number one ranked team in the country on the road in the conference tournament semifinals by 2. And we had 2 shots at the end to win the game. And we went in the locker room, and there were no tears.
Right.
There were no, everybody was like, I laid it on the line and we got beat.
Right.
There was hugs. There was joy. There was hugs. Let's get some pizza. Let's go home.
Right.
And I, that to me is what.
And I'm not sure in your younger days that would have been the stretch for you.
Exactly. No, absolutely. Absolutely correct.
It would have been for me. There's been times, early in your career, I think I love that. It's just, you got to enjoy the wins.
Yeah.
Don't take the losses so hard, because there's going to be just as many. Yeah. My brother gave me some advice. He goes, because I don't remember which state title. We had lost one. And he goes, if you're only going to be happy when you win it all, Steve, you're not going to be very happy very often.
Yeah. And even though you've won it like 3 or 4 times, you're still not. Yeah.
Yeah. He goes, enjoy the ride. Like,
exactly.
And that was like early. And then it's like, and then I think God says, no one cares you lose, Steve. So just know that. So God always puts it in perspective.
Well, the old saying.
No one's going to feel sorry for you losing. I think right. He used a few choice words, because that's God.
The old saying, the journey is the reward.
Right.
For us this year, that was so true. Because for Clark, we had never made the national tournament in our history. And at the start of the year, that was our goal. Because we made it.
Yeah.
And we finished second in our conference, and we made it. And we got our guys together after the tournament got canceled. I'm like, guys, you accomplished your goal. We just didn't get to play. We made the national tournament. We our name was announced.
And that's all that matters. Yes.
Yes. So enjoy that journey.
Right.
Because the season was going to end with a loss. We weren't going to win the national title.
It's a great life lesson, is enjoy the journey, because it's like parenting. It's like, oh, I got a kid leaving the house. He seems like he was born yesterday. It's like, where'd all the time go? So, well, thank you very much, Coach. I appreciate you coming on. Hey, everybody. I hope you enjoyed the podcast. If you want to hear other podcasts by Coach Collins, go over and check out High School Hoops and Teacher Side Gig. And then go over and subscribe to all of them and leave all of them 5-star reviews. That would be great. And then if you have 30 seconds after that, go over and check out teachhoops.com for coaches who want to get better. Have a great day.
Sports Social Podcast Network.
Judy was boring.
Hello.
Then Judy discovered Chumbacasino.com.
It's my little escape.
Now Judy's the life of the party.
Oh, baby, mama's bringing home the bacon.
Whoa, take it easy, Judy. The Chumba life is for everybody. So go to Chumbacasino.com and play over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Chumbacasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18+ terms and conditions apply. See website for details.